good day to you, and welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz, today, and we're joined by Mr. Bernard Onan from the Social Security Office over in Ashland. Bernard, always good to have you on The Front Page.
Well, I appreciate the invitation, Chuck. It's good being here as well.
Well, what's the latest news regarding Social Security? That's why you're here, and we don't want to delay people. I know they're sitting on the edge of their seats right now.
They always are. Social Security is still there, viable for everyone that's filing for benefits and will continue to be. And our agency has been impacted by budget cuts and the sequestration, much like all federal agencies. Unfortunately, we've not been able to hire anyone in the last 4 years, essentially. My office is very stable, fortunately, so we've been able to continue with the excellent public service we offer in the seven counties here in northeastern Kentucky. And we'll continue to do such as long as we can. A couple things that have changed. We've changed our office hours, again, based upon budget. We're open from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. on Mondays and Tuesdays, 9 a.m. till noon on Wednesdays, and then 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. on Thursday and Friday. So a significant reduction in our office hours. All that took effect the past basically 8 to 10 months. We've made a significant reduction in our office hours. We still see the same number of people in those condensed office hours or reduced office hours, but folks are not able to reach us by phone or in person. So if you're driving from Morehead, please call ahead, and we can handle 99% of the business via telephone or internet anyway.
What's the number of clients that you normally handle, say, on a weekly or monthly basis?
Well, in office, we see about 120 to 125 visitors a day, but we really push the folks to use the telephone. We handle over 4,000 telephone calls a month as well. So grand total, we're seeing close to 7,000 visitors, either telephone or in office a month, as well as a huge number of internet transactions and mail transactions as well.
Are there certain things, though, Bernard, that people would need to go to the office for to handle?
Really, the only thing that they have to come into the office to handle is if they don't want to mail in proofs for a Social Security card or if they need something done the same day. So if they need a benefit verification and they've not signed up for a My Social Security account where they can print their own benefit verification online, then they would have to come into the office. If they need a replacement Social Security card and they do not want to part with their driver's license for a few days, then they need to come into the Social Security office. Other than that, almost everything can be handled via telephone or the internet.
You mentioned internet. Online services with reduced hours probably becoming a lot more important then.
It is. We've gone from, in the past 5 years, maybe where 10% of the folks would file their application online to close to 40% of the folks in this service area are filing their retirement, Medicare, or disability applications online. So we have seen a significant increase in that. The tough thing, though, is the online application process is not a complete process. It begins the process, it gets it into the pipeline, and then we will contact you and finish everything over the telephone as well.
We've talked about the online services before, and basically they're pretty easy to use from what you've told me.
They are. If you go to www.socialsecurity.gov, you can get answers to all your questions. You can file retirement claim online. You can file disability claim online. You can file your Medicare claim online. You cannot file survivor's claims, nor can you file SSI, Supplemental Security Income claims online. But if you start the other process, we will contact you and complete everything. Very user-friendly. There are instructional videos, much like YouTube-type videos, to help folks as well. And we get a tremendous amount of positive feedback from the public that like to be able to conduct business online.
Well, and you don't have to leave your home. You don't even have to make a phone call.
Exactly. And, you know, for the folks that have apprehension about that, if you want to do it otherwise, call us. Don't get in your car and drive from Farmers or Morehead or Olive Hill or wherever to the Social Security office. Call us. We can probably handle everything via telephone.
One thing I did want to point out, and we've also discussed this point before regarding potential scams, and when we talk about online services, one thing you guys don't do is make official contact through email.
That's exactly right. No official contact via email. Now, there are a couple exceptions. We will email you if you've started the application process online. We may send an email to you, or if you contacted us, but we're not going to simply contact you via email. You would have initiated the contact before we email you, and you will be able to tell that it's directly from our office as well.
And you mentioned also before that there are people who've somehow gotten a hold of the logos and made things look official.
Exactly.
And I think the best point here is if you're not sure, make a call.
If you're not sure, pick up the phone and call us. Let me give you our number in Ashland. It's 1-866-269-3993, 866-269-3993. That's a toll-free number. We switched that a couple years ago. I know some phone books still may have the old phone number, but if you dial the old phone number in the phone book, it will direct you to our 800 number. So no cost to call us. We'll be glad to assist you.
When people are looking at these scam emails, I'm sure there are probably some clues that should alert them that maybe things aren't on the up and up.
Well, one, if it asks for personal information. Anybody that's asking for your Social Security number, your date of birth, payment information, your bank account information, those are scams. If we are contacting you, we're letting you know that confirming an appointment or letting you know that you need to finish this form on our website, we will not ask you for any personal information via email whatsoever.
Well, what else would you like to discuss this morning?
Well, one of the other big things that we've set up recently, and this is we rolled this out about 6 months ago, is the My Social Security Accounts for those that are drawing Social Security benefits. Again, it's another online service for folks that are receiving benefits where they can, number one, set up an account to secure their identity to make sure no one else does it, and number two, they can make changes and request benefit verification, which is often something that folks need for different programs out there or may need for a loan or other proof of income for other programs out there. So if you will go to socialsecurity.gov and set up My Social Security Account, if you're receiving benefits, it's a great tool for you to be able to manage your own Social Security account. And also you can set up a tremendous amount of security on that. If you want to make sure that you get a text each time before you access the account or before anyone accesses your account, then you can get a text and to make sure that you have the particular numbers or codes or whatever to secure it each time. So I've set up my parents this way so that they can make the changes. I encourage anyone that's receiving benefits to set up their own account so that they can manage their Social Security benefits themselves at socialsecurity.gov.
Almost sounds like you're having your own personal lockbox inside the Social Security online service.
It definitely is, and it keeps folks from potentially scamming your identity and going out and setting up an account under your name and then making a change. Unfortunately, we've had a small number of incidents in the area here in which people have had their direct deposit changed by scamsters or fraudsters, or I have other words for them, Chuck, but I won't use those on this program. So and they make these changes unbeknownst to the person, and then we send a confirmation letter out saying, hey, you've made this change to your bank account, or the money doesn't show up in their bank account as they expect, and at that point then we have to begin an investigation to determine what happens and then rectify the problem.
Well, I'll ask kind of a rhetorical question in the sense that when we talk about the instructions to use a My Social Security account, that they're probably there and pretty easy to use?
They are, and the security that we have, we're comparing information against Experian credit reports. So basically, we're asking information that only you will have an answer to, and as well as information on our web or our databases to ensure that you are the person that is setting up these accounts. And it is very easy to use, and I think that folks will be very encouraged with it.
How do your parents like it?
My mom loves it. My dad is one of these Luddites, and him and Ted Kaczynski, I believe, would probably be good friends. He doesn't touch a computer.
Unless something is sitting on top of it like the TV remote.
Exactly.
So there you have it. You've got one full-fledged testimony and one, I'll ride the coattails of the person who gave the testimony.
That's exactly right. So my mom has set his up for him.
even with somebody who works in the Social Security office for a son.
Unfortunately, we have that. So I love my parents.
Well, I know that one thing that's come online or is coming online full-fledged here in 2014 is the Federal Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. And does this impact Social Security in any way?
Directly, no. It has no impact upon Social Security. And if folks have questions about the Affordable Care Act, we encourage them to contact healthcare.gov. And there's a telephone number as well in which they can contact. It's a 1-800 number, 1-800-318-2596. Now, anecdotally, I'd like to point out that a large number of folks file for Social Security disability purely because they don't have health insurance. It's amazing the number of folks that do that. So sometimes lost in the debate of things, and I'm not a policy expert, but maybe if folks have health care, they won't file for disability benefits, and it could help the long-term solvency of Social Security.
I was going to just about to ask you about that point. I mean, that's a very interesting point in the sense that you may have less people trying to draw on the account of Social Security, at least until they have to, maybe after they retire.
Exactly, and I would hope that would be part of it. We've done surveys in the past as to why people file for disability benefits, and number one is if the economy goes south, and when we go into economic downturns, our applications skyrocket. Folks first draw their unemployment until they exhaust their unemployment, and then at that point, if they cannot find work and they have some physical problems, then they file for Social Security disability. It's amazing the number of applications that happened the past 2 to 3 years as a result of the economic downturn. And then the other reason why folks file for Social Security disability is because they have no health insurance.
Mm. So have you seen more people filing for Social Security benefits here in the last few years than in your office?
We did. And now the last year and a half, though, we've seen a downturn. It started to steady and then it started to drop. So we're seeing the economy. If you want to use us as a barometer as to where the economy actually has made a turn.
The debate over the solvency of Social Security continues. It's something that I can remember it being debated when I was a lot younger than I am now, and it continues today. But what does the overall health of the program look like at this point?
Well, we're good to continue to pay out benefits, and changes do have to be made to the Social Security financing part. Right now, we have enough funds to pay through the year 2033, which is the same year in which we projected last year. 2033 sounds like a long time away, but forever is a long, long time. 2033 is 20 years away. And if we make no changes to the financing of Social Security between now and the year 2033, at that point, we can only pay 72 cents on the dollar. So I don't think everyone wants to take an immediate 28% cut of their Social Security benefits at that time. The past 2 years, we've actually paid out more in Social Security than we've started taking in. We're beginning to tap into the interest on trust funds, and over the next few years, we'll have to tap into the principals on the trust funds, which that turns around and exacerbates the federal deficit. So, changes have to be made to Social Security. I've always had a lot of faith in our leaders and politicians to get the changes done that need to be done. So I'm hopeful. And as you probably recall, Chuck, I am a Cubs fan.
So you have to be hopeful.
I have to be hopeful.
And very patient. And when we talk about 20 years, think back, if you're old enough, 1993 was 20 years ago. It doesn't seem like that long ago. That means that if you kind of look forward and think about 20 years, it's really not that far into the distant future.
That's exactly right. And the last time that major changes were made to Social Security were in 1983 under President Reagan and Tip O'Neill, a Democrat, and we had bipartisan folks working there. Daniel Monahan and other Democrat and then other Republicans were involved. So I hope that you'll see that bipartisan work here in the future as well. They attempted to make changes in the late 90s, and as I mentioned before, President Clinton ran into a little problem with an intern. So that seemed to derail the attempt to solidify Social Security back in the late 90s, and then subsequent to that, there's not really been a push. I hope that we don't wait until it's a true crisis to make make a push, but unfortunately that may be where we are.
I know that Congress is looking at a ton of issues right now. I mean, we could go through the laundry list there, but Social Security has to be somewhere, at least on the back burner, I would think.
I would certainly hope so, but unfortunately we seem to have a Congress that likes to look at issues that have already potentially been resolved and unravel certain things. So who knows where we're going to be.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Mr. Bernard Onan from the Ashland Social Security Office. We will pause for just a few seconds, come back with more in just a moment.
Mountain Edition is Morehead State Public Radio's most comprehensive local news program. Every weekday afternoon at 4:30, this half-hour magazine presents our longest news and sportscasts, features, and commentary on the news. It's a show that brings you closer to politics, education, the environment, and the arts in the part of the country where you live. That's Mountain Edition, weekday afternoons at 4:30 on Morehead State Public Radio.
Welcome back to the Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Again, we're talking with Mr. Bernard Onan from the Social Security Office over in Ashland. And you had sent some stuff to me in my email, and I know that we'll say it was semi-official, but not official, about just the work being done by Social Security and how busy of a place it is. And just looking at some of the bullet points, I mean, I'm surprised you guys aren't working about 19 hours a day.
Well, it is amazing the amount of work that we process as an agency and how efficient that we are as an agency. And not only, you know, nationally, but also locally. And I sent you some information, you know, toward what we've both done in the most recent completed fiscal year in which I could pull data, which was the year ending in October of 2012. So it just gives you an idea of, you know, 17 million Social Security cards processed. And in our particular office in Ashland, if I can quickly take a glance at this, we did 6,223 Social Security cards. We did almost 11,000 benefit verifications. So that's, and all those folks, I'd say 90% of them came into our office to conduct business. About 17,000 visitors just to benefit verification or a Social Security card.
I saw here something else that really struck me, too, is that 1 in 6 Americans receives a Social Security benefit as of today, and that's a striking number.
It is. You know, it's over 50 million folks receiving Social Security benefits. In our service area here in Ashland, there are 43,000 folks receiving Social Security benefits and over 10,000 folks receiving SSI benefits, so over 53,000. And this was two fiscal years ago, so it's actually higher than that. It's probably closer to 56 or 57,000 in our service area. This service area is all of northeastern Kentucky, and we start in Ashland, Boyd, and come all the way here to Rowan County. Boyd, Greenup, Carter, Elliott, Rowan, Morgan, and Lawrence counties, and I think I counted 7 of them off when I said that. So when you go from here to Lexington, there's not a Social Security office from Ashland to Lexington. So it's a tremendous amount of folks that are receiving benefits.
Well, checking the demographics of this region of the state, we have an aging population, so it tends to make me think that you guys will get even busier over in your office.
We will, and that's the reason why we really have to push our online services to get folks to do as much as they can themselves and to manage their own benefits themselves, and so that we can help the folks that truly need the assistance, that need the help in filing the applications.
Just kind of looking over the other numbers as you were talking about some of the stuff. Issued almost 74 million Social Security statements, and that's a lot, too. You're talking now from going from 1 in 6, you're talking to, what, about 1 in 4, roughly, or just a little less than that.
Exactly, and we were required in fiscal year 2011 to mail out the annual statement to all workers age 25 and older. Now, because of, again, budget cuts, sequestration, and whatnot, we have actually had to stop mailing those out. So if folks want their own Social Security statement, they have to create again. If you're not drawing benefits but you want to know what you can receive, you need to go to socialsecurity.gov and set up your own My Social Security account. So Chuck, for yourself, if you want to project what you're going to draw at retirement age, or if you became disabled, or if you were to pass away, what your wife would be eligible for as a widow off your record, you can go and look at that, set up your own account there.
We also want to point out that Social Security is not just drawn by retirees. You mentioned earlier in the show, you touched on that momentarily, about people who are looking to claim disability benefits, but right. there are other people who are claimees as well.
Exactly. Folks can receive survivor's benefits. Those are benefits paid to widows and widowers that are age 60 and older, and also for young mothers or young fathers that have children in care age 16 and under, as well as children from age 0 all the way up until they graduate from high school, or 19 and 2 months, or age 18 if they graduate from high school. Retirement only is really about 75% of our business. The other 25% to 30% is either disability benefits or survivor's benefits. And that's, again, often lost in the debate about the value of Social Security. If you're looking at the value of Social Security purely as a retirement benefit, folks are forgetting completely the value of the disability insurance benefit, the value of the survivor's insurance benefit. So folks need to remember that when they're looking at Social Security and what they're paying in.
It's a pretty unique service, isn't it?
It is, and especially when you have folks that have been impacted by it, that maybe have lost a parent or lost a spouse, and then they have young children, and they can give you testimonials as to the value of it. They never realize the impact that Social Security would have upon their life and their ability to continue on.
That's what makes me confident in thinking. You talked about the bipartisan work that was done in the early 80s to essentially save Social Security and preserve it for the future, and here it is 30 years later, we're talking about it, which is a good thing. But I think that all sides agree that Social Security is an important program for Americans, whether they be disabled or perhaps they're collecting survivor's benefits or perhaps they're retiring, that it's something that needs to continue and it's something that is important to all folks from the United States.
I agree with you completely, Chuck. And if we could get in a time machine, maybe Michael J. Fox could help us here. And let's go back to the early 80s. Maybe we can get Leon Durham to actually catch that ground ball that went between his legs.
And we have to get Bill Buckner not to spill Gatorade on it first.
Exactly. So
you and I will sit in the dugout and drink up all the Gatorade.
Make sure that that does not happen, and then we can get some bipartisanship politics as well.
Are things evolving right now as we speak at Social Security in terms of possible new programs or changes in programs?
Not significant changes toward the programs. We're going to continue to enhance our internet services. We may be impacted further by sequestration, and if that does happen, you could see our office hours change again. And So I encourage folks to contact our office directly or go online to look at our office hours before you make a trek. Again, call us, though. We can handle 99% of everything over the telephone.
I remember I got my Social Security card, it may have been like my early teens before I started working, but now I guess the recommendation is to get one for youngsters right after they're born.
We offer the service called enumeration at birth, in which probably, again, 95% of the parents say yes to that service. When the child's born, the hospital clerk will come in and get the identifying information. They send that to the Bureau of Vital Statistics in the state that they live in. Then our agency pulls that information from that Bureau of Vital Statistics and assigns a Social Security number immediately and mails it out to the parents within 6 to 8 weeks.
Kind of reminds me of that old show back in the 60s. I know you'll remember it because you're about the same age bracket that I'm in. Secret Agent Man, and the song was done, the title song was done by Johnny Rivers. One of the lines was, they're giving you a number and taking away your name.
I believe that's happening for all these young children. So.
Well, Bernard, always great to have you on Front Page. We appreciate you coming over from Ashland and joining us today on the program.
Well, Chuck, thank you. I'll be back, I guess, at some other point, maybe this coming year as well, as long as they allow me to travel. So thanks, Chuck.
Bernard Onan from the Ashland Social Security Office, our guest today on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Mraz. We'll see you next time.